We're going to miss you guys. I'm telling you, from the time that every single service, from the time we walk in the building and the greeters from the outside all the way in, is just perfect. Love, 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 Gary said, and absolute, that's absolutely right. And I hope next year that we can bring up as many Amakaleans as possible. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? Amakalites, hallelujah. They are just like you. They're good, good people, and you would enjoy them. Hallelujah. I want to, you don't have to turn to these scriptures. I just want to read some scriptures and not be too long, but just exhort just for a few moments on the same subject that we were on the other day about worship defeating poverty and its effects on poverty as we worship him, or the attack or the fight that Satan brings through spiritual warfare. The other day, we were talking about how that a thankful heart has a lot to do with getting us past those places. And someone brought in, Gary brought in Beanie Weenies last night. Those are good stuff. Now, LA, if you don't eat those, please give them back, okay? Matthew 21, I'm just going to read this. This is Jesus going in and doing the cleansing of the temple. Verse 12 says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto him, Yes, or yea. Have you not read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise? Now, Jesus turns to them after he cleanses the temple, and he quotes from an Old Testament. They obviously confront him, and he quotes from an Old Testament scripture in the book of Psalms. When Jesus cleansed the temple, and then turns and begins to perform miracles, and then they come to him, and this was not a small thing that he was doing. He goes in there and overturns the money changers. This is a big event. It's really big. I was reading some stuff on it recently, and he's in that area of the annex of the temple, which was Herod's annex, and it was really big. You could actually put 6,000 people in there. And he was in that area, so there was a lot of commerce going on. When he does this, it just really, really upsets the religious order. And then he turns and begins to show them what the temple is supposed to be for and what church is supposed to be for. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb. And it just infuriates them. The children are Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save us, or Savior. And they come at him, and then his rebuttal to them is this: Have you not read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise? And if you've ever heard any of the series of the Born Again Trail, Born Again Trail 101 is this. Dave breaks down that. As that's not just the little tights. That's not just the little guys. That is, in essence, the picture there is our born again, new nature, new person in Christ. How that it, as it is born of him, the effects that it has, in our worship to our Father. And so Jesus quotes from Psalms chapter 8, and I'm just going to read that. He says, O Lord, the psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained. He says a little different here, but this is what Jesus said, referring back, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. So Jesus quotes from this. When we look back into it, it has... now this is more when I'm talking about worship tonight. the other side of the coin or the other side of the sword. This is not worship as in thankfulness, which it is, but the effects of it is different. This is more of a militaristic, the effects of our worship, how that has a militaristic effect. And here the psalmist says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you've ordained strength that you may still. The word still means to just to shut down or to stop or make ineffective the enemy. That's the strength of worship. That's the strength of worship. If we, and we're not going to turn there, I'm going to read one other place, but what I'm about to say is not from this. Let me find my place here. It's in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. I'm going to read from that, and then we'll receive the offering tonight. But the effects of worship in what Jesus was saying out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, and then we just read Psalms 8, the effect of it, how it has an ability to shut down whatever the enemy is trying to do. Now, there's Old Testament stories, and one that we're not going to turn there, or I'm not going to read from it, but just to elaborate just for a moment, that old familiar story, which is so powerful, of Jehoshaphat's army, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And there were three huge nations that came to encamp against them. And it was reported, the report comes back to the king, you know, these guys from Mount Seir, Moab, all these different invading armies have come, and they're there by the thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, I don't know, insurmountable. So the story is that they were camped against Judah, and King Jehoshaphat calls on the Lord, and the Lord sends a prophet, and the prophet says, okay, you're really not going to need to physically fight in this battle, but follow the instructions of the Lord. And the instructions of the Lord was, tomorrow, go out against them, take an army, but instead of the army being at the forefront, put your praisers at the forefront. Put those worshipers at the forefront. So, hallelujah. If we were going to fight a battle tomorrow in Kettering, if there was a bunch of soldiers over there and all the men said, okay, we're going to meet here at 6 o'clock and we're going to bring whatever weapons we can, because we got to follow in with the militia here. We got to help. I mean, it's bad. National Guard's here. We're going to fight. But the Lord says, okay, but what I want you guys to do is I want you to put Jamie and the worship team out front. Put them on a flatbed truck and ride through and follow. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Anybody that ever wants to get on the worship team, if they find out that they had that kind of assignment, that'd probably shut them down right there. No, I think I'm not called. I'm not called. But the story was, the end result was, when they got to the wilderness, all these thousands of corpses. These armies really begin to turn on each other, kill and extinguish each other. And the amazing part was that the Bible says that it took 3 days for them to gather the spoils. 3 days. And you know what they did? They marched, and the word says that this is what they repeated. What was it? It was his mercy. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Over and over. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. If you're under a militaristic attack of a regime of the enemy is coming against your finances, I would suggest sitting someplace and beginning to worship him and say, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever, and my finances are blessed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, 3 days it took them to, you know, here's an enemy that's going to plunder them. And as a result of praise, they plunder the enemy. Hallelujah. Good stuff. But here, real quick, Ezekiel 28. Now, we wouldn't know these things about the spiritual past, except a prophet was able to look into it and tell us these things. And Ezekiel says this, and this is all about Satan prior to becoming Satan, when he was in his original glory. Verse 11 of 28 says this, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him. Now, in this particular reading, the king of Tyrus, we're speaking about the person of the one that we call Lucifer or Satan. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sellest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, diamond, beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now here, we can't get too far reaching and we've got to move on. But this is where when people talk about that Satan probably had a ministry of worship. And it's very possible. We don't have line on line. But when it talks about the tabrets and the pipes, that breaks down the Hebrew as tambourines and horn instruments. So he probably didn't have these things hanging out of him. But there was an innate ability to create an atmosphere through his worship. So I think, you know, it's good enough. It's not too far reaching to believe that he did have some kind of level of ability to create worship in heaven. So it said, in that day, all these things were created in him. And it says here in verse 14, thou art, he was then, the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. And I don't know exactly what that was, but it had to be wonderful. And here, amazingly enough, it says that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, we know this, that he was in the classification of angels. He was a cherub. And it says here he was the anointed cherub, or the one that covereth. I don't know. I don't have backup scripture. It is possible. You know that what it's describing here, the garden of God, you know, according to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, everything that was in the original tabernacle, like the mercy seat, all of that stuff, that's literally in heaven. That was a rendition of when God had Moses do all that stuff. Much of that's a picture that comes from heaven. And when it talks about that there's a mercy seat, when he had the Israelites make, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, all that stuff, there's two cherubs, and they're stretched out like this, and they cover the mercy seat. All I'm saying is this. I don't know if originally he had that position. It said he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He may have been, and obviously he was replaced. But he did have a very integral part of the center of what God was doing there. But it says here this, thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mount of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou wast corrupted in thy wisdom because of thy brightness. I will cast thee down. I will lay thee before kings. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire. Now this is interesting, and we're closing now. This is interesting. He uses the word traffic, and the word traffic here in the Hebrew is trade or merchandise, and I am nowhere near implying that there is commerce in heaven where there's any kind of, you know, money exchange. It's just that from the very beginning, when we see his tapestry, the way he was made, and again, it's probably not, he probably didn't have, you know, diamonds in his face. He didn't have, but it describes him as being part of the actual riches of heaven. It really does. And then when he uses these terms that thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore I will bring a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Hallelujah. Here's the amazing part. And this is, I don't want to get too far reaching on this. I just want to say this. God said, okay, you're going to be cast down. And we say, well, the original sin was pride, and that's true. But because he began to behold himself, but he was created. And we know this, that he must have had something to do with worship. And then he must have had something to do, at least in his orientation of being part of all of everything, at least a picture of all of the splendor and the riches of heaven. But once he fell, then God said, as a result of your rogue, you've gone rogue, you've fallen, and I now will, as a result, bring a fire out of the midst of you. That will be your destruction. The fire, what once, and here's where it's this is really good that when you begin to see this, what he once was created for, and we know this from other scriptures, that we just, by example, 2 Chronicles 20, what worship did, it neutralized a physical army, which is a spiritual implication of what it happens in the spirit. But Jesus said, and then we went to Psalms 8, that it actually destroys, worship actually destroys the enemy. When we worship, well, let me say this. He's not Superman, by no means. But Gary brought up the scripture that he is the God of this world. What's that scripture in John? It's Corinthians, okay. But the whole world lies in under the wicked one. That's in 1 John. That's the one I was thinking. Chapter 5. He's not Superman, but here, let me ask you this. What is the only thing that does neutralize, if you've ever followed the comic book or any, what neutralizes Superman? Kryptonite. Well, kryptonite comes from where? Krypton, his original place of origin. Satan originally had, his orientation was worship. His original place was the throne room experience. But once he went rogue, God said, the very thing that you've been anointed to do now will be a kryptonite to you. It will destroy you. When they begin to worship, it will neutralize you and bring you to a nothingness on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo! Took a little while to get there, but we got there.